Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Discharge in that war.
Serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. This evening,
on this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Bless you all. Bless you all. Teacher Shane here with you this evening on this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully, Blog Talk is getting the bugs worked out of it. Hallelujah. Got a 10 this week. Finally. We've been having a little bit of disruptions on some of the broadcast of the Brothers End, and I think it was from Blog Talk making an improvement in their direct connect. So I think that's where the problem lies. I guess their improvement is finally improved. Hallelujah. But praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. All glory to the Most High Yah. In my chat room, I cannot type anything on my end. I tried to type anything. It disconnects, so I will not be typing in the chat room this evening. Oh, hallelujah. Good. We've got a good connection this evening. Hallelujah. Well, bless you all. In the wonderful name of our Master and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the soon coming King, hallelujah, the one that we know without him we can do nothing. And I thank Yah to have that testimony this day and this hour. Praise Yah, praise Yah. I pray everyone's week that had come to pass was well with them, and it should be. With all the wars and everything going on, we're in a war. We're in a struggle. We're in a fight. Those that are called of Yah, we're in a journey, in a pilgrimage, going to our true homeland. Hallelujah. 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 And thank Yah for all that we're going through under his watch, under his wing, under his loving eye and his loving ear, his loving heart and his loving mind. It's good to have a heavenly Father. I think about that just about almost every day, knowing that, yeah, at one time I did have an earthly father, but he's passed away and went on to not be with the Most High. Same way with my mother, natural mother. She's went on to not be with the Most High, Yah. But the beauty of it is, even though, you know, temporarily they were here, I thank Yah for the privilege and the honor to have a father that is everlasting. Even though many of us did not had fathers that did not teach us a damn thing. And many of us can say of the truth. And we see in our time, in our hour, there are not many out there. That is something that has really, really been attacked. Headship of family, order of family. Because we know the Hasatan hates it. Why does he hate it? Because he's not in the family no more. He rejected the one that created him. He did not want to be part of the household of Elohim. So he was cast out. And now we see his enmity, his hatred, his bitterness, his jealousy, his envy, hatred, and all such like that emanates from his disembodied spirit. And all those that joined him in the rebellion, all those that were cast out with him, all those that the tail of the dragon drew within its reach, those that were with the dragon. here we are. Here we are, pretty much at the end of all this, being the called of Elohim. Thank Yah for being birthed in this time, and you should be thanking Yah for being birthed in this, because it is an honor and a privilege to actually understand, to actually have your understanding opened. Only few really on this earth really understand the reason why they are existing. Majority of the world is in the mindset that it is existing for itself. So they consume themselves and they consume one another to hold on to this existence. But the people of Yah, when they start understanding that they have an eternity now to live, that there's no longer for this biting and devouring one another, there's no longer this competition between one another. There's not this fight and this struggle to live after lust, to live after envy, to live after strife. And all the time, you know, we think we're living in these things, but it was bringing much death. If we really look back at the background some of us had, we see, a lot of us live very dark lives. We lived in much darkness. And the fruit of our labors showed us what we were in. But now, being redeemed, now being lifted up out of the miry clay, now you having been seated in heavenly places with Messiah. Yeah, we read the word. Reread it. Is that as far as it's going to go? Are we going to read it and actually believe it and actually apply it to the new life we have now? Because this living word can be administered in a dead body. See, this living word, this new word, can't live in the old you. And I watch many come just in this ministry trying to live the life of an Israelite, but with the old skin, with their old ways, their old desires, their old wants and lust. And then saying they love an Elohim like the scripture came in. They followed after Yah, and then they also worshiped other idols. I'm still trying to understand reason. How can you follow Elohim and then still saying that you're following Elohim, but you still have all these idols that you're looking after? And we never take into consideration the biggest idol that a lot of us have is ourself. Pastor used to preach on this so heavily way back. Way back in the beginnings, when Yah actually was building this up as a tender plant. I remember him saying, giving the alliteration and the example of, our natural flesh, how much we can wash it 1 minute, and then 2 minutes later, we can take a white rag. After we done washed, and got the soap and cleansed ourselves very well, take a white rag and rub it across our skin, and dirt will still appear. Letting us know, this temporal body that we're in, it's of the dust. It's dirt. But come into the realization of the new creature in Messiah. When you truly start understanding who you are in him. Too many of us fight and cleave and clamber to understand who we are in ourselves. When that stuff should have been on that tree. To understand the true impalement of Messiah, to truly, really relish it and experience it, is you to be on that tree with him. And many of us don't reckon our daily lives as being on that tree daily. As Paul said, I die daily. What's dying? There's something in us each and every day we've got to actually take authority over and put to death. It's only a few of us that can really harness what Yah has done. And how can we harness it? No pastor brought forth, and I will give you pastors according to Yah's heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And with all you're getting, get understanding. And I look at understanding as what is your feet planted on? You know, Messiah told us there are two foundations that we can build a house on. The one is sand. The other is the rock. Have we considered some of our works that we do on ourselves? When we see trials and tribulations and a lot of anguishes come upon us, and you know, the winds beat upon it and the rain beats upon it, and then we see destruction. We see complete obliteration of that work. We see it come to naught. That should be a telltale sign in us what we built that upon. See, foundation is very critical in this walk with Messiah. It's very critical in being a temple, a tabernacle of the Elohim. If anyone understands construction, the genesis of all construction always begins first with a foundation. We read in Genesis the foundation being settled. This is very critical. As while we were in captivity, look at this. The Most High Yah told his people to plant gardens and to build houses. Why? Why do this in captivity, Elohim? Well, there's something that while you're in that labors, I'm going to teach you something of me. Something, you know, that your heart strayed from. I'm going to bring you back to the genesis of all things. To plant a garden, there's always a foundation first that has to take place in planting that garden. You've got land that is right before your eyes. You can see land that is not tilled. But if you desire to plant on that land, and to have increase of that land, there must first a foundation be formed. You've got to perform a first labor first. You've got to put a plow to that land. You've got to make furrows straight. But it's amazing. As you till that ground, you see on top, when you know, before the you know, when the ground is laying fallow, you see nothing but the top surface and probably grass and whatever's on top. But it's an amazing thing that when you stick a plow into the ground and then it starts breaking up and going down to the depths of that earth, and all of a sudden you start seeing rocks, you start seeing stumps, you start seeing roots and everything. But if it wasn't for that plow, if that plow did not pierce that earth, you would not physically see these rocks and these roots and these stumps and whatever is underneath. But as that plow is doing what it needs to do, then there is another labor that needs to take place. The rocks has got to be removed, stumps and everything that is going to prevent the furrow from being established. See, foundation. Before you can even plant a seed, you've got to prepare the ground. You see, in our time and our hour, so many things are just trying to take you away from the sweat of the brow, from the experience of labor. So plant your gardens. So the Most High Yah may, while you're in that labor, while that sweat is just pouring off your body, while your muscles are aching while you're tilling that ground, perchance the voice of Yah will come unto you saying, these things that slip our mind, being an agricultural people, why plant you gardens and build you houses? Well, build you houses, you know. You've got to actually prepare the ground for that. You've got to actually start at the foundation first. You got to make it sure before you build their own. And even in all that, there's a lot of calculations, a lot of math. There's a lot of thought going on too. If I build this way and if I build that way, will it be structurally sound to support what I'm actually getting ready to put upon it? See, we have an instruction book. We have the word of Yah continually before our eyes to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, to give us instructions on how to plant and how to build. And we get instructions. Do this, do that this way, do this that way, and then we go our own way. And then they did, because there were no judges, we don't want no judges in the land. Then we will do that which is right in our own eyes. When you're told to do this, and you go contrary, oh, I'm going to cut corners here. It's easier to do it this way. Well, but what if you was told to do it this way? Excuse me, had an interruption there. Well, what? You received instruction to do it a certain way, but you did not follow that instruction. See if we can rectify this matter real quick here. I don't need these interruptions. All right. Bless y'all. Bless y'all, oh my soul. But y'all said, plant ye gardens, build you houses. So we have instruction always before us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What do you mean it's instructions? Going to tell me how to walk. Going to help tell me how to talk. Going to tell me how to live and how to build and how to plant. But it's something, you know, when man sees that which is right in his own eyes. Something about us. And yeah, I can see many times why I went the route of sand and not the route of rock. Oh, hallelujah. 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 And this should be a manifest token in everything we do. Especially when we have people in authority that Yah has put in a place to administer. When they give you instruction, build it this way, do it this way, walk this way, you need to do it that way. It's a good that you should heed the counsel, because this is respect. You know, many people, you know, bow their head and double honors and double respect. And, you know, they think, you know, just them saying that words will give them a hall pass. Me and Pastor have been in this a long time. Like you said, we've seen you before. You can do all this flattering phrases and these flattering words. And it's something we have seen you before. We know you. You cannot fool us in many ways that you think you're fooling us. And this is the same thing with Elohim. When he gives us instruction, when he gives us precepts and laws and commandments, this is the way of life. For us now, like Joshua said, choose life. That's free me and my house. This day we're going to choose life. It's not as complicated as we think when the simplicity of Messiah is ever before our eyes each and every day. We got to wake up. You're going to start this day in life or you're going to start it in death? When you get ready to lay your head down, are you laying your head down in life or are you laying your head down in death? It's according to throughout the day, your labors. What have you built upon the sand? And what have you founded upon the rock? See, a lot of stuff we see that when we start building upon sand, it comes to destruction. It comes to naught. It happens very quickly. And I thank Yah that he teaches us on so many platforms, so many ways that he desires to reach us. If we allow him to reach us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank Yah for this life. I thank Yah for his love. I thank Yah for his correction, his rebuke, and his reproof, because I know. And all that is going forth, that it is always in love. When I come to the understanding that I am a purchased possession, that I am a prisoner of the Most High Yah, that I have been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light, getting our minds into that. Yah trying to get us, so many of us walk in this outer court experience so much that we never have been able to enter into the sanctuary. We try to experience Yah in the outer court. when you really look at the pattern, what was taking place in the outer court, there was a lot of killing taking place. There was a lot of bloodshed taking place. And before the priest could enter into the sanctuary, he had to wash himself from that. I've been hearing Pastor talking about the order of the temple. And that was a shadow of good things to come. But when Yah has declared, now you are the temple of the living Elohim. Now coming into consciousness and have our conscience brought under subjection of this knowledge and this understanding, it'll help us to tune us to really understanding of who we are in Him. You got to remember that many of us come into this. We claim and we testify we have been born again. So if you've been born again, have you lived through the infant years? Do you remember the time when you was on the tit of the word? I'm talking about when you needed the milk of the word. Reason why I say this, because I see many coming to this. And they never, as they testify they've been born again, all of a sudden they jump from being born again to being an adult in this, never allowing the work of humility to bring them from the infant crapping on itself and peeing on itself, and it has to be ministered into and cleaned up. They come into this, and next thing you know, they know all things, and they can prophesy all things, and they can tell all other people where they are wrong at. That's just a small snippet of the experience even, you know, I have experienced trying to teach others. They want this, and they want to know that. And then you spend the time with them and tell them you need to do this and you do that and you need to go this way and go that way. And then they come to you later, well, I did this. I'm like, what did I tell you to do? What was the instruction given to you? Here you are. Seeking the counsel of those that are experienced, those that have been immersed in the work, immersed in the sweat, immersed in the toil and the tribulation, immersed in victory, immersed in errors and in failure. And we all had to go through this just to bring good counsel to you. Because we know that you are at a point where we were at a time earlier. You're at a weak point. You come into one that has already overcame and been strengthened in this matter. And you seek counsel. So called, you seek counsel. And you seek direction. And lovingly, the one you go to gives you the layout, gives you the plan, gives you what you need to do. But then you come up, well, we're going to do it this way. What is that actually saying? What is that actually proving? When Yah saw this, he had a way that the priest should come and sacrifice this and do this and do that. And then time went on and on and on. And next thing you know, Yah says, I'm just full of it. I'm full of your sacrifice and all this shit and everything that you think you're doing. I gave you a law. I gave you lawful food. I gave you the way of righteousness. I gave you the path to walk. But you sought your own way. You went to look at their other mighty ones. So you went searching, well, this knowledge teaches me we can do it this way, and this knowledge teaches me we can do it that way. So did Messiah hang on the tree? Did Messiah experience that experience for naught? When he was on that tree building a foundation for us? When he had a forerunner going before him, said, prepare ye the way of the master. All these crooked paths need to be made straight. Take heed to your lawlessness. As we heard Shabbat. Lawlessness. So when you really simplify the war that we in, we have the law of the flesh and the law. I'm very thankful to Yah for his word. For his way, he says, I am, I am, I am. The word was made flesh. The I am that spoke to Moses, the I am that spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I am became flesh. And that I am said, I am the bread of life, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. I am the door. I am the bread. And because he is, do we really start understanding now? But it's because of him being who he is. That's why we consist now. That's why we are here now. That's why the testify daily, without you, knowing that you was on that tree, without you, I can do nothing. Who can do nothing? I. So what is that really proclaiming? I don't know, through all things, through Messiah, I am more than a conqueror. Through Messiah, greater is he, Messiah, that is in me, than he that wants to be in the world. You know, I say, the word says that he that is in the world. How many times we find ourselves wanting to get out into the world? We remember the part of us that was once part of the world. What is the word really saying? When you see that worldly you rising up, then understand there's a greater one in you. So do you want to plant gardens? Do you want to build houses? Build houses? What are you talking about? Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? The temple of Elohim. walking on two legs, having two eyes and two ears. You have a heavenly Father. How can he be your Father? Well, if you're born again, then you must be his offspring. And if you're his offspring, then you must be a child. Are we? We say the praises. I'm a child of the King. But are we speaking this from our outward? Are we speaking this as we walk the outer court? Or is this voice actually being heralded when we're actually in the sanctuary? And how much more is this voice and this testimony being really resounded when we have really been in the Holy of Holies? The true experience of a priest of Yah, a child of Yah, entering into the presence of Yah. Known in the outer court that there's animals being slain, there's blood being shed, there's things being burnt upon an altar. Then that priest, before he enters into the sanctuary, he has to wash his hands. He's got to wash himself. He's got to make himself clean, even before entering into the sanctuary, where the candlestick is and the manna, the golden pot, and the incense of the altar of incense. The heavenly bread, the table of show bread. I am the bread of life. I am the light. We're in the sanctuary. So we know and should know by the pattern of the tabernacle that the flesh is the outer court. We're going to enter in. Yeah, we will start in the outer court, and the priest always, that is the order. This is the order. If you read the account of what took place in that outer court, there was a lot of bloodshed. There was a lot of burning. It's also washing. So one, as a temple of Yah, he's got to get there now into the sanctuary, which is his soul. And in the soul, he will see the light of the word. He will see clearly. Because that place is veiled. That place is cut off. That place, the sanctuary, is not receiving the light of the world around it as the outer court is. There's got to be a veil there. If you really understand and truly understand what took place when Messiah was on the tree, the veil was rent. The only veil that was rent was the veil rent between the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies. But there still remained a veil from the outer court into the sanctuary, and that same veil remains today. And many of us are still in the outer court and then not taking, and I've not allowed ourselves to be slain, to be burned, and to be washed before we enter into the sanctuary. We've not allowed our soul to enter into the presence of Elohim. We stay out in the outer court so damn much But you're not going to experience Yah in no manner. In no way in that outer court. You must go through that veil. Because that veil is taken away. Once that slaughter is out there in the outer court, once it is burned, and once then you are washed by the water of the word, then you are worthy to enter into the sanctuary where you're able to see the seven candlesticks and the table of showbread and to smell the essence of the altar of incense. When you can only receive that savor, that fragrance. Because you cannot take nothing from the outer court and then and think you're going to bypass the sanctuary to get into the Holy of Holies and have nothing to offer. See, the priest before he could actually enter to the Holy of Holies, he had to take fire from that altar of incense and put it into his censer. And then put the incense there on and then set it in. Beyond the veil, but that veil ain't there no more. See, our prayers. A lot of our prayers keep us in the outer court. When our prayers should actually start in the outer court and then progressively as we kill off the flesh and we burn the lust and the envies and everything away, then we wash ourselves at the altar, brazen altar that had the water to wash with. Then now we are clean to enter into the soul. Because we have gotten rid of all flesh in that outer court now, then our mind, our will, and our emotions are there in the sanctuary. They have been purged from all flesh. Once we're able to see where our feet are standing beyond the veil in the sanctuary, because of the candlestick that had the seven candles, it lights our way. Seven spirits of Yah are giving us counsel, giving us sight. Then the table of showbread, it has given us substance to sustain us, to get to the Holy of Holies. Yah has provided this already for us. And we'll allow our eyes to see the light of the candlestick. We don't want to eat the bread that's on the table. You want to have, like our forefathers, what is this? What is this? And they started despising the bread from heaven. I know Pastor said we probably need to do another teaching on the temple, and it's coming soon. People need to know this. I used to teach on this so much that it was despised. I used to teach in times when it was not convenient, but it was convenient. I had to teach on it because Elohim gave it to this teacher to minister and administer in this administration. this was the way, and I had to walk in it. I had to teach on it, even though, you know, I'm looking out upon a congregation that is despising it. But Yah is good and faithful. I thank our Elohim for his purpose and his pleasure, for his way. He bought me to walk this. He bought me to talk of this. He bought me to testify of this. He bought me and redeemed me because my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And because that name was written, I come to understanding now this word, it is in me that he put in me. It cannot return unto him void. But it will accomplish what it has been set forth to do. That's why you see us before you preaching and teaching the words of Messiah. Because it is greater than us. But you think, that's man saying it. That's man saying that. Well, you keep building on your damn sand foundations and see how you're going to prosper. Keep staying in your own stubborn way and plant nothing and build nothing. Plant and build, plant and build, plant and build. But we don't want to plant this. We don't want to plant nothing. We don't want to build nothing. Got all these false witnesses on these street corners. They worried about titles, and they give themselves these titles as Hebrew Israelites. They have this name. When you look at what's truly been named upon them, they're in adulteries, they're in fornications, they're in lasciviousnesses, they're in filthiness. Do you want that to be named of you? I said, this man goes and went forth to war, and then he did not take heed, you know, how much this war was going to cost. This man went forth and went to build and did not count how much it was going to take in funds and whatever to build what he wanted to build. I hope those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the assembly. If we can just get beyond the veil of ourself. Messiah had to deal with his own veil. Had to begin to get beyond his own self. He had to deal with his own flesh. Well, how did you say that, teacher? Say, well, when he was in the garden, he finally realized he uttered the true word, not my will, but your will. So he received the instruction of the Father. I think many times how much instruction has been given me, direction has been given me, and I didn't heed. I didn't take heed to that instruction. Then I built it. And then I boasted in my building, and I went and looked and like, you should not have built this way. And I'm like, what? You should not have done it this way. What? But just think, if you just went with the instruction first and beforehand, you would not be dealing with the pain and the anguish and the labor and the hurt that you got to deal with now. Yeah, it's a whipping post. It's a crown of thorns. Yeah, it's a whip on your back. But Yah's love will constrain us. Yah's love will make straight the crooked path. We truly receive his love. All this, thanks to the Most High Yah. To get back to our study in Ephesians. Bless our Elohim. Bless his loving kindness, his gentleness, his temperance, his loving kindness that he shows for toward us. We get wounded many times, and the wounds are there. They're good. But I thank Yah that he has also added a provision, that he has brought a balm of Gilead. When you start understanding that Yah has provided all of our needs according to his riches and glory, even in our failures and our errors in this walk, we still have a mediator. We do not need to forsake the mediator. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So why not consider yourself to learn obedience by the things which you suffer? And the word tells you, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. As Messiah suffered in the flesh, yes. We suffer in the flesh. We suffer for a greater good. Because we know we're dying daily. We're dying to ourselves. We're dying to our wills. We're dying to our aspirations. And the more we die to this, we understand the true creation, who we are in him. Why he has planted us in this time. And what fruit we should yield in his vineyard. When you truly understand you being a planting of the Most High God, you being one that is built upon his foundation, Yah is truly and wants to be our all in all. Do you want him to be your all in all? How can he be your all in all when you have not given all? When you not put yourself in a place of humility for him to provide food, shelter, conjugal rights? Here our minds... Draw back to the leeks in the garlic. I remember when I received this of the world. I remember when I received that of the world. I remember how many, you know, experiences and turmoils and trials and tribulations try when the enemy's voice comes in without force of voice, without trying to tell us, remember? Remember when you... When the voice of the enemy comes in and tries to bring you back to a trauma. And how did you deal with that trauma? What was your salvation for that trauma? What did you do to escape? So you went to these addictions and you went to that addiction. To keep your mind off of that pain. But now when you realize, now you and Messiah, when that pain has been put upon, that body was on the tree and taken out of the way, when you start realizing a lot of the pains we try to rehash from our old life, it's already been put on a body that was slain, and slain from the foundation of the world. Then you can, true God, start understanding why your names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, but now you are manifested in this time. Abraham was manifested in his time. Jacob was manifested in his time. Isaiah, Nehemiah, Ezekiel, manifested in their times. Why? Because Yah is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is that he is. So back in Ephesians, I know we've went over this in chapter 5, verse 1. Be you, therefore, followers. So if you're going to follow something, something's got to lead, right? So be you, therefore, followers of Yah, as what? Dear children. I think a lot of, I've seen a lot of people claiming to be Israelites. They never get to know their Heavenly Father because they don't become dear children. When one truly is born again, it's something about the spirit of humility that starts a new creature at that stage. Because I remember clearly that day when the Most High Yah truly revealed himself to me. And I truly understood where I was transgressing, where I had truly offended the one that created me. When I come to that understanding, it was only by the Spirit of God. It is nothing that I concocted in myself. It was an appointed time for my conscience and my consciousness to receive this. When the word of Yah from the foundation of the world, when my name written in the book of life was written, and that name became prominent for the time it was written to be manifested. Book of life. You know, in that book there is chapters. There is, in that book, there is written certain things to take place as Yah would have them to be orchestrated. So if your name was written in the book of life before the foundation of the world to be manifested in this time, why not truly humble yourself and receive that is who you are? When you truly understand who your real father is, when you truly leave your father's house, talking about your former father, be you therefore followers of Yah, Ephesians 5:1, as, notice the word, dear. Why would he call us dear? That lets you know the heart of Yah towards us. When he birthed us before the foundation of the world, when the seed was already in motion, when the seed was already in the bag, to be planted at a certain time. If it wasn't for Messiah coming in his time to break up all the hard ground, the fallow ground that was laid before him when his foot, when he was birthed into this earth, when the Word became flesh, when the tears of a woman washed the dust of the feet, dust off of his feet, of this earth that he walked upon. And this woman truly knew who her Creator was. When this woman truly knew who was her Redeemer. When any time we allowed our tears to wash the Messiah's feet? Have we any time allowed our hair to dry his feet? As we clean the dust from this earth with our tears? To come into the consciousness of being a child of Yah. I see not many, many experience this. It's sad. It is very sad. We got so many voices out here that say they know Messiah, but they are false witnesses. My pastor been on Dr. Brown. He's a false witness. A man that is learned from the state. A man that has been schooled in the state. A man that speaks of the state. His vernacular is tailored by the state. A white man that does not truly understand. The false witness. He don't understand the true people of Elohim. He does not understand the origin of the people of Elohim. Yes, they were a melanated people. He's not melanated. This man will, this man with his voice, will actually say, I've been in no captivity. He's a false witness. He does not speak from the spirit of Elohim, and we can hear it clearly in his voice. I am thankful that Pastor brings these things forth for our eyes and for our hearing. Many of us cast it off. You know, what does that mean for me? I can't learn nothing from that. Yeah. You don't want no judge in the land, so you can do what's right in your own eyes. You will not follow those that Yah have raised up, that Yah has put his spirit in. We will not humble ourselves. No. You know, like Dr. Brown said, your language is wrong. And like, damn. This man is proud. This man is prideful. Man is arrogant in his learning from the state. He didn't learn that from Elohim, thinking that he has a command of the language. And a lot of these Hebrew Israelite camps think they have a command of the language. When none of them have no love, no long-suffering, no gentleness, no meekness, no temperance. But within the camps, there's envy and there's strife and there's hatred, there's backbiting, gossips. Which, you know, in Ephesians 5, this should not be named among you. But we want to have this name. We want to be named by this name. We want to put out this banner. This is who we are. But inwardly, we're going to show the dead men's bones that they truly have. Because they're not dear children. Beautiful about when we look at the natural. A child is totally dependent upon the father first and the mother. And if there's no father and mother there in that order, that child later on it gets rendered incomplete. You can see the attack on the family in our time and our hour. When you see all these unfruitful unions. See, it's the simplicity of Christ. If we can really, really hone ourselves and discern what's truly going on. Yah gives us the ability to see that which is fruitful and that which is unfruitful. A male and a male coming together can produce nothing. A female and a female coming together can produce nothing. A female and a horse, a man and a horse, a man and a dog, a female and a dog. Seed produces after its own kind. We see throughout all the word, when the manifestation of Messiah at his any time was to come, the attack was against the seed. We are here now in Revelation, and the dragon is out to attack the seed of Israel. Here is the faith and the patience of the saints, keeping the commandments, the law of Yah, those that will not be unlawful. Who is the supreme law? Who is the creator of all things? Creation itself is consisted and held together by one law. Yah is love. We have two tables of stone, written, testified. Now, we have these laws written in our hearts, in our minds. Laws first to help us love Yahweh, our Elohim, with all our being. That is the first. Without the first, then the second can't be established. If we can't love Yah in the precepts, commandments, and statutes he's given us, how to love him, how can we love our neighbor as ourselves? And then when he says, and all this is hinged upon this, Psalms, prophets, written of me. When is the word going to become real in us, saints of the Most High Yah? When are we going to start understanding who we are in him? When are we going to truly, truly embrace what we are created to be? Because we got a whole lot out here that do not know their identity. So they're in blindness, groping and clamoring for some identity. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. They're groping and clamoring for all these lies. For all this unfruitfulness. I'm this, I'm that. When you're simply called a child of Yah, why not embrace it? When this is your true identity, this is when you truly understand why you were manifested in this hour, why you were created in this hour, for him, for his purpose, for his pleasure. That you're no longer a servant of Satan. When Yah has opened your eyes and opened your ears to hear him, why should you hear the wicked one? The unlawful one. This is real. We truly are start understanding our existence is greater than what we think. It's greater than ourself. When you truly understand day by day, greater is he that is in you. And then you get to actually eat from the table of showbread. You actually get to see the light from the candlestick that's in the sanctuary. Then you can enter in boldly to the throne of his grace and to the Holy of Holies. Because he wants us to come in boldly with confidence. Because why there was one that hung on the tree? That while we was yet in our sins, there was one dying for us. Why can't we die? If we truly understand the one that has died for us, then how hard is it for you to die? Your old thoughts, your old aspirations, your old dreams. When you get into the book of life, you start seeing his life, his aspirations, his dreams, his purpose. And you start understanding, this is what I was created to do. I'm in his house now. I'm his servant. I have one that truly loves me, that truly clothes me, that truly feeds me. Dear children, no man can come unto the Father but by Messiah. He is our mediator. He is our substance. He is the reason why we exist. We are his witnesses. We got so many people out there that are saying they are his witnesses, and they have never cast out a devil, never healed the sick, never cleansed a leper. They can speak on, you know, all the books I've written, all the doctorates I've received. But the true school of life, Yah's life, Yah's purpose, Yah's pleasure, Yah's plan, you know, truly and deep down in each and every one of us, we want to receive one certificate. We want to hear one phrase at that day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We going to serve the world? Are we going to serve Yah? Are we going to let him be the father and we stay in our humble position as the children and let him plant us and build us up so that we can plant and build? Yah loves his children. Receive his love. Please receive his love. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High Yah, who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So let us see with new eyes. Let us hear with new ears. Every day, walk in the newness of life. Not our life, but his life. Well, bless you all, saints of the Most High Yah. I bid you much shalom. Thank you, Brother Josh, again, being co-host this evening and posting, one scripture. Oh, well, one passage, it's not scripture. But it refers to scripture. I guarantee you it does. Our Yah is mighty. Our Yah is holy. If we want to be partakers with him, we will walk as he walked. We will be the planting of Elohim. We will be built upon better promises. And we have these promises. So let us embrace them, saints of the Most High Yah. I do bid you much shalom. Greet you in the name of our Master and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Definitely the King is coming. We're coming upon the feast days. The bride is making herself ready. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When the trumpets sound, let us know that the King draws nigh. So the bride will make herself ready at atonement. So when she arrays herself in white, then she knows that she's able to enter into eternity with her Elohim and tabernacle with him. Shalom, shalom, saints of the Most High Yah, blessings. Hallelujah, hallelujah.